It's all about Jesus, right? And we're supposed to have a birthday cake for Jesus on Christmas Day, right? Even if you're alone, get a cupcake and put a candle on it and wish Jesus a Merry Christmas. Sometimes, you know, everything I'm reading is just says God just said he just wants us to just rejoice and dance and sing and celebrate. Just keep celebrating because he said the darkness is going to come real soon and the trouble is going to come real soon. So he wants us to be celebrating right now, okay? And we're not going to concentrate on the darkness. We're not going to concentrate on what's coming down the road. We're going to concentrate on today and what God is doing in the world, in our lives. What he's doing in our lives so he can use us to minister to the world, right? All right, this is really a word that somebody gave. I forgot her name. But anyhow, she said she kept hearing her. Well, let's just read what she says. May the glory fall. For weeks now, a powerful phrase has kept going through my spirit over and over again. The phrase is this: no honor, no glory. I've been searching through the word of God to more fully understand what the Holy Spirit is trying to teach me, excuse me, because I know that it is the glory of God to conceal a matter, but the glory of kings is to search out a matter. Proverbs 25:2 says that. If we want to see and experience the glory of God, then we'll need to build a foundation and determine why it is that if there is no honor, then there is no glory. In 2 Chronicles 5:11, the glory of God falls as a priest worship in the temple. When the priest came forth from the holy place, for all the priests who were present had sanctified themselves without regard to divisions, and with them 120 priests blowing trumpets in unison, when the trumpeters and the singers were to make themselves heard with one voice to praise and to glorify the Lord. Then the house of the Lord, was filled with a cloud so that the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud. You see that? For the glory of the Lord filled the house of God. I really feel with all my heart that tonight, if you could have gone into the song service in the beginning instead of waiting till it was jumpy, the glory of God might have fallen. Why is it that we have to be jumpy? I mean, God does want us to be excited and dance and sing, but why not sing the beginning songs? Are you understanding this? I didn't even hear you humming them. So let's read that again. When the priests came forth from the holy place, for all the priests who were present had sanctified themselves without regard to divisions, and with them 120 priests blowing trumpets in unison. See, there's always in one accord. When the trumpeters and the singers were to make themselves heard with one voice, wouldn't it be wonderful if we really got to a place where just all you hear is one voice in here? Instead of all these, you know. So the glory of God is so on us that we just sound like one voice, like an angelic choir, right? All right, to make themselves heard with one voice to praise and to glorify the Lord. Then the house of the Lord was filled with a cloud so that the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord filled the house of God. When I was first saved back in 1977, I was in praise and worship services where it just sounded like a bunch of angels singing. You really thought the angels that were there with you. You couldn't tell who was singing, who wasn't singing. And the glory of God did fall. All right? Now, God's trying to bring that back into the house once again. And this is why I'm teaching you this tonight, because you have to understand why God cannot bring his glory into the house of God the way he wants to, even in our houses, even in our homes. We see here that on occasion, the glory of God was manifested on the earth, but throughout history, it has, for the most part, been veiled. Even when Jesus came to the earth, he carried the glory, but it was veiled in human flesh. However, there were and are times when God's glory, the Shekinah glory, is revealed in a visible and tangible way. Now, the word Shekinah comes from the Hebrew word Shekhnot, and it is used in the Bible when God would settle in. I thought this is interesting. When God would settle in or dwell with his people. See, this is, I had Larry pull me up a bunch of stuff about, I'm sorry, articles about the Shekinah glory, because this is what we need to understand. We need to understand the Shekinah glory, and I'm not going to teach that tonight, because we want God to settle in or dwell with us. All right? This is the glory that was seen when God's presence filled the temple like a cloud. We also see this glory at the transfiguration on the mount, where Jesus shone brighter than the noonday sun as he spoke with Moses and Elijah. Remember back when we used to have all the revivals here? Brother Youngs was with us, Reverend Youngs, and he used to stand out there because he thought it was so wonderful that you could see the Shekinah glory just come in like a big cloud, and the people would walk through the door and fall on their face. And they had to move them to the side so people could come in. So the Shekinah glory does settle in. But you have to have the right atmosphere. In those days, I didn't have a staff I had to contend with. It was just God and me and the praise and worship people. And the glory of God would come in and just move among the people. Remember those days? Well, I can't want the days I used to have, but God, I would like to have whatever else it is you're going to give me. Amen. Because I can't want what I used to have. God told me I couldn't go back there. All right. God's glory falls when there is unity. When there is worship that glorifies or honors God. And when all things are lined up with the kingdom of God. In your homes. If you want the glory of God to settle in your homes, there has to be unity. And if you're worshiping, there is worship that glorifies or honors God. In other words, you might go through the house singing praises to the Lord. They have to honor God. And when all things are lined up with the kingdom of God, then the glory is going to fall. In your car. That's the best place to be worshiping God, is in your car. Because the glory does fall on you, you have to stop, really. Excuse me. So, practice that in your car. You don't have nobody else in disunity with you, because it's just you in the car. Amen. And just start praising the Lord and just worshiping Him. And you're in unity with God, one mind, one accord with Him. And you just see what God does with you. What is honor? Since we are each a temple of the Holy Spirit, it is so crucial to worship and honor the Lord with our lives and thus fill the earth with His glory. Since we are each a temple of the Holy Spirit, it is so crucial to worship and honor the Lord with our lives. You see that? But what is honor? As a noun, honor means esteem, value, or great respect. You see that? It's esteem, value, or great respect. In the Bible, to honor someone is to value him or her highly. We are told to express honor and esteem to certain people, such as our parents, the aged, as well as those who are in authority. You can read Ephesians 6:2, Leviticus 19:32, and Romans 13:1 will tell you those things. But at the same time, we must understand that all authority and honor belong to God alone. You see that in 1 Chronicles 29:11, 1 Timothy 1:17, and Revelation 5:13. Even though God can delegate his authority to others, it still only belongs to him. Ephesians 4:11-12, we should not honor anybody above God. This means that when we honor someone because God has commanded us to do so and because we want to, we're really honoring God. Honor in the New Testament is a Greek word, timē. The literal definition being a valuing or something that is attributed to as valuable, precious, and weighty, much like gold or precious stones. Even though honor can be displayed as actions, words, or thoughts, all true honor originates from the heart. You can't honor anybody from your head, because that's nothing but flesh. It all, and if it originates from the heart, then it's going to produce something good. In Isaiah 29:13, the Lord says, These people say they are mine. They honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me, and their worship of me is nothing but man-made rules learned by rote. How do you pronounce that word? See how that goes? I've heard people say, I just can't get into worship. I couldn't get into worship tonight. You know, well, maybe you just aren't where you should be with God. The people around about you should not be dictating how you worship God. Are you listening here? It looks like honor, sounds like honor, but it's not true honor, at least not how God defines it. Honor is simply the overflow of the reverential fear of God springing forth in our hearts. God says, you worship me with your lips, but not with your hearts. The Bible talks about a noteworthy group of people who are deserving of double honor, which are the leadership of the church. 1 Timothy 5:17 says, let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in preaching and teaching. Not only do we attribute double honor to church leaders, but we see that the word gives us the command to honor one another in our marketplace relationships. Brother Allen, you should be honoring your boss on your job site, is what this is saying. You find that in 1 Timothy 3:1-7, and then chapter 6, verse 1, Ephesians 6:5-9. And of course, in the marriage relationship between husbands and wives, we should show honor, double honor. Hebrews 13:4, Ephesians 5:23-33. Of all the commands to honor one another, the one repeated most often pertains to honoring one's father and mother. I want you kids to listen to this. Where's all the kids? See Exodus 20:12 and Matthew 15:4. This command was so important to God that if anyone cursed or struck one of his or her parents, then they were to be put to death. Exodus 21:15-17. And he who strikes his father or his mother shall surely be put to death, and he who curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. A whole lot of you kids would be dead 6 feet under, maybe 12 right now, if God was having his way. It's not a funny thing either. See, you're not taking honor in your mother and your father the way God wants you to, and because of that, you're always going to be cursed. You cannot be blessed if you're not honoring your father and your mother. I don't care what your mother does, you're supposed to honor her. I don't care what your father does, you're supposed to honor him. Let God take care of what they're not doing right, right? That's not your job, and your job is not to curse them and fight them and throw things at them. And I've had that done to me, but I really stand in awe of how kids do not honor their parents. It's ridiculous. Then they say, well, why doesn't God bless me? Hello. Wake up, smell the coffee. Because you're not doing your job. You're not honoring your father and your mother. To honor is to love. See, you don't love your parents. We are commanded to love the unlovable. Love those who persecute us, right? Love those who revile us, right? Come against us. How am I going to love them? How's God going to love you? You're ignorant. Because you won't follow God's commandments. You don't want to love somebody that's unlovable, but yet you want God to love you, and you're being unlovable when you're coming against his commandment. Did you ever look at it that way? Come on. To honor is to love. The word love is sometimes used synonymously for honor. Paul commands us to be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves in Romans 12:10. Come on. I really want you all to get this down in your spirit, because I want you to be blessed this Christmas season. If you get this down in your spirit and you start telling to go to God and repent and tell him how sorry you are for the way you acted, you know, not you didn't act the way his commandments told you to. You acted the way you did out of the foolishness of your flesh, and just tell God, I'm never going to do it again. You need to do this. You need to open up the floodgates. That's what I'm hearing God say. You need to open up the floodgates so he can pour you out a blessing you cannot contain. But until you do that, until you go to him and repent and stay repentive, don't say, oh God, I'm sorry today. Then 2 minutes later or 10 minutes later tomorrow, start cursing your parents again. You can't do that. Come on. I really believe it's a spirit in the atmosphere. I see kids at all ages do this. You know, even little Isaiah would say to me, shut up. I said, don't you talk to me like that, you devil. You know, I'm talking to that devil in him. See, it's a little two-year-old talking like I've never heard the likes. It's in the atmosphere. But that doesn't mean that you kids have to give into it. You're not 2 years old. You know better. Are you understanding this? Honoring others above ourselves goes against our basic human instinct. It is only by walking humbly by the power of the Holy Spirit that we can esteem and honor fellow people more highly than ourselves. People don't know how to be humble. Really don't. And if you don't learn to humble yourself, you're never going to be blessed by God. You know, we're supposed to be walking under every blessing of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And they had everything. But they followed the commandments of God. They did not go against the commandments. Are you listening here? So I said, it is only by walking humbly by the power of the Holy Spirit that we can esteem and honor fellow people more highly than ourselves. Romans 12:3 and Philippians 2:3 tell you that. The book of Proverbs illustrates how our behavior results in honor. Proverbs 21:21 says, whoever pursues righteousness and love finds life, prosperity, and honor. But you're going to have to pursue God, is what this is saying. And whenever you pursue God, which is righteousness and love, finds life, prosperity, and honor. Let's remember that honor as taught in the scriptures is far different from the type of honor sought after by the world today. Honor and awards are frequently given to those with wealth, clout, worldly power, and celebrity status. Those who thrive on worldly honor are actually in a precarious place because God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. 1 Peter 5:5. You people with pride, you stink. You need to get that pride under the blood. I mean, totally so under the blood it never can raise its ugly head ever again. I mean, I said, who do they think they are? So full of pride. Who do you think you are? You didn't create nothing. God created the universe. God created everything. He created you. And what makes you think you're so all that and then some? Don't you think that God's sitting on his throne thinking the very same thing? Who do you think you are? With your prideful attitudes and your arrogance against people in authority. Who do you think you are? I want you guys to really think about this. Who do you think you are when you're so prideful? Come on. It's important that you get this done. You need to get past the pride. Because you're never going to be blessed. Never. We never want to be like the Pharisees who sought after honor from others. Because Jesus totally rejected that type of behavior. Let's read that again. We never want to be like the Pharisees who sought after honor from others. I am totally surprised at the people that sit in the house of God that want other people to lift them up. Well, guess what? You're going to get knocked down. God's going to smack you in your knees and you're going to fall flat in your face. Who do you think you are with seeking honor from other people? You have to get all this under the blood. Every bit of it. You can't hold any of it in your bosom because you're never going to be blessed. God wants to bless us. And and the reason why I'm giving this, I did have something about Jesus, but the reason why I'm giving this is because God said, if you don't get this right, when you go into 2016, you're not going to get any blessings. And God told me today, he said, you know, I never take back a gift, but I do lift my anointing. You might be out there prophesying to your blue in the face and you go and prophesy, but there's no anointing to it. Are you listening to this? Well, I deliver people. That's all right. You might deliver people. There's no anointing to it. It's all your flesh, all this, probably demons telling you what to do. Are you understanding this? I'm just saying what God said, you're in a very precarious place right now tonight. Because you've allowed pride to lift you up above God. And that's a bad place to be. So we never want to be like the Pharisees who sought after honor from others because Jesus totally rejected that type of behavior. He said everything they do is done for people to see. Matthew 23:5. Look at me, look at me, look at me. Well, I'm sorry, you're nothing. I'm not looking at you, I'm going to look at Jesus. Amen? And he not only labeled them as hypocrites, but snakes and vipers also. Matthew 23:29-33. You read that in the Bible. When somebody starts puffing you up, if you don't tell them that no, it's God, then you're in dire straits. You have a deep-rooted problem that you better get under the blood and keep it there. The bottom line is that all of heaven raises its voice in honor and praise to God, and we are instructed to do likewise. Revelation 4:11 says, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being." Come on. What happens when we honor? In 2 John chapter 8, we learn that our full reward from the Lord is consequential. It says, "Watch yourselves that you do not lose what we have accomplished, but that you may receive a full reward." Are you here tonight? Are you listening tonight? Are you going to drop this junk tonight and not take it into 2016? I don't know about you, but I want a full reward, not just a partial one. Mark tells us of some folks who made bad choices and who did not receive their full reward in Mark 6:1-6. Jesus went out from there and came into his hometown. And his disciples followed him. When the Sabbath came, Jesus began to teach in the synagogue. And the many listeners were astonished, saying, "Where did this man get these things? And what is this wisdom given to him? And such miracles as these performed by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? Are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. Offense, there's that word. I offend everybody that runs across my path. Why? Because there's something in you that's not right with God. That's the fact. Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his hometown and among his own relatives and in his own household." In other words, a prophet is not honored in their household, in their hometown, or among their relatives. And here's why. Jesus could do no miracle there except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them, and he wondered at their unbelief. I'm going to tell you why that is. This is the very Son of God. This, we just read, is the very Son of God, but he could not do any miracles in his own hometown or in his home. Did you hear that? He could do no miracles in his hometown because of the people's unbelief. In other words, who is this? He always is a carpenter. All she is a housewife. You know what I'm saying here? He could do no miracles in his hometown because of the people's unbelief, which ultimately resulted because of their lack of honoring him. Why can't I do miracles in this church? You don't honor me. You don't respect me. You're full of pride, and you want the honor. That's why God doesn't drop his glory. I'm just telling you about it tonight because that's what he told me. I can't do it because they're not in unity with you. Everybody's trying to do their own thing. That could be going on in your household too, husband and wife. Your wife could be wanting all of God and you're just wanting everybody to honor you. Are you listening here? Come on. Do you see the power of dishonor at work here? Isaiah had prophesied that the government would rest upon the shoulders of this prophet, and talking about Jesus. I'm going to write this scripture down and forgot. And that his kingdom would have no end. Jesus was a prophet. The kingdom, the government rested upon his shoulders, and his kingdom would have no end. It goes on forever and ever. The people of the day assumed, there's that word assumed, that the Messiah was to deliver everyone from Roman oppression. And when Jesus didn't line up with the image they had in their minds, they became offended with him, and familiarity moved in. See what's going on here? Jesus became just a carpenter to many. Hey, isn't that the carpenter? Didn't he build the picnic table out back? That's why you should never become familiar with the people that you have to teach. Because they become real familiar with you and then they disrespect you. And next thing you know, they're wanting honor and they don't care where you end up, what trash heap you end up in. I always tell prophets, if you're going to prophesy, don't be familiar with the people. Because first of all, you don't need to know all their business. Because whenever you prophesy, are you prophesying because of what you know or of what God's showing you or because of what a familiar spirit's telling you? You understand this? I don't care if they call me stuck up, is what your attitude should be. I don't care if they say, well, who does she or he think they are? They won't even talk to me on the phone. I don't care to hear your junk. I can learn what I need to know from God about you. And if God doesn't reveal it, then I don't need to know it. Are you listening? I don't need to know all your business. I don't need to know how many times a day you go to the bathroom. Or if your husband spits in your face. I don't need to know all that. That's none of my business. I just need to know what God shows me about you. That's where you should be at too. Why is it you want to know everything about everybody? It's because you're a gossiper and you're just nosy. Truth. Do you know what I found out? Right? All right, the people of that day assumed that, I'm going to get here too. The people of the day assumed that the Messiah was to deliver everyone from Roman oppression. All right, so the last time, not this last revival we had, but the one before, God told me to put on there that there was going to be miracles taking place. And so the man came that needed a healing. He didn't get his healing. He said, the reason why I came here is because you had the guts to put on there that miracles were going to take place. He said, well, I assumed when I walked through the door, I was going to be healed, but he wasn't healed. His attitude wasn't right to begin with. It isn't me that heals. It's God that heals. And if your heart's not right, God's not going to touch you. I'm going to tell you that right now. Because my touch does nothing to you. Are you listening? It's God's touch that does something. The people did not receive Christ's full reward because they did not honor him. And because of that, he left and went on to another place. It has been said that familiarity breeds contempt, which could also be stated as familiarity leads to dishonor. The better we know someone, the more likely we are to find fault with him or her. Are you listening? If we know an individual well enough, it is easy to stop respecting them, which is exactly what happened in Jesus' hometown. Because of familiarity, they did not respect him as a prophet, and therefore he couldn't do any miracles there. We need to be careful not to engage in familiarity in any arena of our life. We can't become too familiar with those who teach the word of God. He no longer impresses me, you say, with the message of the word of God itself. I've heard that so many times before. I already know that. Or that we just no longer appreciate the significance of the word of God. I'm just not getting fed anymore, so I'm going to leave. If you've been with me long enough, you've heard some preaching for 2-3 years. Why? Because you didn't get it the first time or the second time or the 100th time, so God keeps preaching it because you need to get it. I even sit up here and say, I have a message and gotta go down this other road that we already went down. I said, God, please, why are we going down there? And he makes me go ahead and go down that road. He says, because they still don't know what I'm trying to teach them. So we serve a God who cares enough about us that he'll keep repeating the same thing until it finally gets into our little thick brain and goes down into our spirit. Amen. So if you hear the same thing over and over again, there's something in you that needs, if it upsets you that you hear it over and over again, there's something in you that needs to be changed. So get it changed, and then I won't have to preach the same thing over and over again. Amen. See, you're the one that dictates what I preach. If we do this, we may cut ourselves off. You know, that's saying, I don't want to be there no more. If we do this, we may cut ourselves off from a powerful message. We may cut ourselves off from miracles. Jesus only healed a few, and worst of all, Jesus might leave. Are you listening? The Holy Spirit will come walk out. He's a gentleman, and when you grieve him, he'll leave. He won't stay. He won't stay. I know what I'm saying. He won't stay. Because of contempt and dishonor, we can lose access to receiving the full blessings of Christ. See that? Because of contempt and dishonor, we can lose access to receiving the full blessings of Christ. Some of you sitting in here, I offended you and you got off on a tangent and then you got in a mess with God because what I did should not have offended you. All right? Think about this. I want you to really concentrate on this because I want this, whatever junk is in you, I would like to, for your sake, I would like for you to get it out of you before you leave this year. Leave all your junk in this year. Don't drag it with you. So whom do we honor? I think that's where I'm at. Whom do we honor? Let's look one more time at how we are to honor. Jesus told his disciples in Luke 13:35, I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And again he said in John 13:20, he who receives or honors whomever I send receives or honors me. And he who receives or honors me receives or honors him, the Father who sent me. All right, let's just say that God sent Nancy Willis to Shirley to minister to her, and Shirley is ignorant to her. See, that upsets God. If God sends Nancy Willis to Shirley to minister to her, then Shirley should honor and receive Nancy as a person of God that God sent to honor to. Do you understand that? When we expound on these scriptures and replace the word receives with honors, the message becomes clear. First and foremost, we are to honor God, and we are also to honor those whom he sends. Everyone and everything else that we honor will flow from us as vessels of honor. First and foremost, we are to honor God, and we are also to honor those whom he sends. Everyone and everything else that we honor will flow from us as vessels of honor if we honor God first and then honor those that God sends to teach us. Amen. Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:21, if anyone cleanses himself from these things, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified, useful to the master, prepared for every good work. When you get all the junk out of you, then Paul told Timothy, then you'll be a vessel of honor, right? Visualize yourself and others as the finest and most exquisite vessels of china in the entire world. Would you fill those vessels with trash? Of course not, and neither would the Lord. God's not going to put trash in a tainted vessel. I mean, God's not going to put himself, in a tainted vessel. He's just not going to do that. In order to be filled with the glory of God, we must learn to express honor from the depths of our hearts. We desperately need the glory. As it eclipses everything, there is no cancer in the glory, no slander, no poverty, and no sin. But we must remember that if there is no honor, then there will be no glory. If you don't honor your wife, don't expect anything from God. And if you're working for God, it's the devil working through you because God wants you to honor your wife. Isn't that what his word says? It is time that we in the body of Christ see. The reason why you can't honor your wife, your husband, your kids, or there's people over you is because you are not honoring God. You're not. We just read that, didn't we? Because if you're honoring God, you know, everything else just flows out of you. You know, it just comes out just simple, sweet, and you know, you don't even have to think about it. It just flows out of you because you're honoring God. And that's in your spirit that God comes first and he's just foremost in your life. And because you're so desperately and completely in love with God and you're honoring Him with your vessel, then you'll honor everybody else that you come across. And you'll not seek honor either. Because if you really honor God and you really know God, you'll find out how insignificant you really are. And you will not seek honor. You'll just thank God that He sees fit to use your vessel to do anything. Amen. I've seen many of people fall because they get full of pride. And when people start puffing them up, instead of them saying, no, it's not me, it's God. You never hear, you always hear me say, all the glory goes to God. I give the honor to God where it belongs. I couldn't prophesy over any of you if it wouldn't be for God working through me. No healings would take place if it wouldn't be for God working through me. Or if it wouldn't be God working in the building, not even through me, but in the building, in the atmosphere. I do remember whenever we used to have all the signs, wonders, and miracles. One day I'll be free to tell you why that all stopped, all right? But what I can remember, whenever the signs, wonders, and miracles were working, people would come up here, and God, and you know, like one day, Brother Larry, I didn't know him from a pot of beans. He came up here for prayer, and he turned around and started walking away, and God said, oh, I said, by the way, Larry, God says to me to tell you that your back's healed. I didn't know he had a bad back about all of his life, and his back was healed. See, that wasn't me. I don't know him. But now, see, if I would have known him and known he had a bad back, I'd have thought, was that me or was that God? Why do you want to get so chummy with everybody? You should get chummy with God. Get chummy with Him and get His glory working through you, His anointing working through you, and then every place you go, people will be touched. Are you listening here? And why do we get so offended? You get offended so easily because you don't know God. And if God writes a lot in His Word about offense, offense is a stench to His nostrils, and He can't stand it. And you know, sometimes I used to always say, you know, God uses me to offend you to get that offense out of you. You know, because I wouldn't know why else He would do that. Because you have that spirit inside of you, and He's trying to get it out of you, so he would just, if you're here, He's just using me to offend you. Amen? And so instead of you coming against me, I'm just a messenger. Come against your own self. Okay, tummy, you've got these spirits in you. They just now manifested, so get them out. Instead of sitting around stewing about what I might have said to you or somebody else, I'm just using me as an example, or somebody else might have said to you, instead of you sitting around stewing about that, get rid of it. Come on. Sometimes I never get offended, but sometimes I do get angry at some of the things people do and think, how stupid can you possibly get and still breathe? Come on. This is people in the house of God. They get so stupid they can't, I don't see how they breathe. I don't see how they function. Aren't I right? Come on. You all been there and seen that and done that. You know what I'm talking about. So why should we pretend it doesn't exist? It does. See, the truth will set you free. The truth will really set you free. So, you know, God was reminding me. When I was 62, I think it was, I had to go to get a physical for something. And the doctor used to come here to the church. She moved to Tennessee, I believe it is. She called me in her office and called the nurses and the other doctors in there and had me hop around on one foot and do all kind of dumb things. I said, what is she doing? And I said, what are you doing? Well, the doctors and nurses were amazed. And they said, a person your age should not be able to do any of this stuff. And your DNA came back saying you're 35 years old and not 62. You women know what the change is. I guess you get hot flashes and get ignorant and do all kind of dumb stuff, right? I never went through that because I was walking continually under the blessing. I never went through, my body never changed. I never aged. I never did nothing. But then one day God said, daughter, you're now going to start walking under the curse. I aged about 10 years overnight. all kind of things start happening. I never went through the menopause or whatever you call it. I never went through that, though, thank God. But, you know, all kind of things start happening in my body that never happened before. Why? Because I was walking under the curse. It wasn't anything I did. And someday, you know, I'll be able to be free to tell you. But what I'm trying to show you here is if you esteem God, if you honor God, you will not walk under the curse. You will walk under a continual blessing. And if you aren't puffed up with pride, if you don't want somebody to tell you how wonderful you are, then you're constantly walking under the blessings of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Why do you guys need a girl to say, oh, you're so wonderful? Why do you need that? Why do you women need that? Sometimes when people say to me, oh, we really do love you. We really do. We just think you're the most wonderful thing in the world. I said, shut off. I shut that thing off because I don't like that. Why are you doing that to me? And why do you enjoy it when people tell you that? Think about why do you enjoy it? I don't enjoy it. It really turns me off. But that's just me. I'm just different. That's just me. I don't like that. Because I have found out over my years of living that people say a whole lot of things they do not mean. It's just words. What's that word? Wrote. It's just things you've heard and you just do them. You know, a man might never tell you love you, but all of a sudden he found out, hey, if you tell a woman you love them, you get them in bed, you can do anything you want to with them. Just tell them you love them. You women are gullible. You're stupid. Don't believe every time somebody says, I love you, they mean it because they don't. I've been around that mountain too, haven't you? They'll tell you anything you want to hear. Why are we like this? Because you don't know your Father. You're not in love with your Father. You're not walking in heavenly places. And you need all this little dumb stuff to make you a person. Now, come on. If you need all that dumb stuff to make you a person, then you need to go get dipped again. Come on. God didn't make us to need all that stuff, guys. He put a void in us so he could fill it, not dumb stuff. I want you really to think about, I hope you've been thinking about your life while you're sitting here tonight. God said, tell them I'm all powerful and I'm all knowing. And there's not one secret you can keep from me. And he said, I'm telling you tonight, I want it all. I want all your thoughts. I want everything. And he doesn't want you looking at people. He wants you to look at him. People will let you down. Now, if you keep pushing my button, I'll get angry. All right? You know, I can be sweet and mild, but I can also get very angry if you keep pushing my button because I can't believe what Christians do out of stupidity. They do dumb things. And that's not God. So quit wanting Christians to do things for you and to you. Get alone with God. Let God be the one. Let him be your source. Now, I did not tell you not to love your wife. I did not tell you not to love your husband. I didn't tell you that. I said, quit making them fill a void that only God can fill. I myself said to you tonight, God, I know I only need you, but I really would like a little bit of flesh. Just a little bit, you know, to hold my hand and say, you know, things are okay. But not my will, but yours be done. Come on. That's the bottom line. Not your will, but God's will be done. Now, whose will do you want tonight? Your will or God's will? I'm hearing God say there's a lot weighing in the balance here tonight. Why did Jesus come? He said, come to set the captives free. You want me to show you a little baby in a hay in a manger? No, he's not there anymore. He did that. He's sitting in heavenly places. And he's saying, get it together. Somebody said to me, you was really hard on Astrid the other night. I said, why? Well, she was crying and you said, get it together. I said, well, what did you want me to do? Sit down and cry with her? Come on, I'm not supposed to get down into your valley with you. I'm supposed to bring you up into heavenly places. Come on. She's crying for nothing anyhow. A lot of us cry for nothing. Do you know that? We blame people for closing the doors whenever God's closing the doors. And we want people to open doors when nobody can open a door but God that we can walk through. Are you all learning a lesson here tonight? Now, when's Christmas? Friday? I thought it was Saturday. So today's Wednesday. So you can think about all day Thursday about this. And then Friday you can get up and have your little birthday cake with Jesus. And then you can tell him, I'm grown up today. I'm no longer the second on the bottle. I've got it together now. And when I walk into 2016, you can use me, Father, because I'm not going to be offended. I'm not going to want people to honor me. I'm not going to want people to say, oh, look who just come through the door. We just sang that Jesus again when we say that about, right? It's all for the glory of God. All for the glory of God. Amen. Come on. You know, you're missing so much in life when you're depending on somebody else to bring you happiness besides Jesus. And I'm going to tell you, if you really and truly get to know your Father, you won't have to worry about any happiness, because if you're a man, your wife will love you to pieces. Your kids will love you to pieces. Somebody said to me today, oh, this person is so wonderful. They got it all together. They got all these kids. I said, you know what? Their father was a pastor. He led a godly life, and he raised his kids godly. Seeing this person did not lead a godly life, and he was complaining about his kids. And I said, I'll just tell you why these other kids are so wonderful. Amen. See, men, you've got to take your role. You've got to be the priest in your household. You're the one who has to lead God and direct your children in the ways of the Father. I'm sorry, men, but, well, no, I'm not. I guess this is the way God made it. He made you men so your family can look up to you. They can depend upon you. Are you listening? They don't expect to see you out in the back lot smoking pot. They don't expect to see you walking down the street with another woman when your mother's working. Are you understanding what I'm saying here? They expect when they go home, there's my daddy. And he's going to take you in his arms and he's going to tell you how much he loves you. It's going to make your day complete. And then you'll be a well-rounded person. You wonder why kids are the way they are? Because men were not the way they should have been. But I'm believing God's going to turn any man that comes to Lighthouse Church around, and they're going to be godly men, and their family's going to look up to them. That's the way God made it. Didn't make us look up to the mother. The mother's supposed to tend to the kids and nourish them. The father's supposed to be the priest and show them how God walks. Some of you men in here, you're not very good fathers. You know how to be a good father. You're just not a very good father. So I think you need to get that together too. And you young men around here goggling at other women that you like to have a wife. Well, learn how to be a father first. Learn how to be godly first. Isn't that right, Ethan? And then look at a woman and say, I'd like to get married. Right? And then when you get married, it'll be married for life. And it won't be all this other junk coming into your home. And your kids won't be at age 14, you know, being drug addicts and out on the street doing prostitution, stealing from stores to buy drugs. You won't have all that. God's saying, I want to reconcile you to myself, but you've got to get the junk out of you. I've done all I can do. Now the rest is up to you. This is a good message. It's a message of hope. It's a message of complete joy. Because if you're lined up with the Word of God, you'll walk in total and complete joy. Peace will abound on all sides. But if you stay in the Mueller Gubs where you're at right now, you're going to die and go, I don't know where. I'm not going to see where you're going to go because I don't know you. I don't know. But why live miserably when you can live happy? Amen. Come on. I see so many people, married people, living so miserably. And really, all you have to do is say, either I'm sorry or I forgive you. And then mean it. Mean it. And then walk on with God. Come on. You know, maybe you weren't as fortunate as I was. You're probably sick of hearing this, but I had a wonderful father. But when I was 8 or 9, I was kicked out of my house. I didn't blame my dad because the woman he married was a woman he committed adultery with, and there were 6 of us, and she had 5, and, you know, they had 5 together, and he had to make a choice, either keep the 5 babies, the home and the 5 babies, or kick us out. He didn't kick us out, she did. I never held that against my daddy because I knew my father was a wonderful, wonderful person. And I wasn't walking in his shoes then, and I wasn't very old, 8 or 9 years old. And I said, Daddy, where are we going to go? And she said, I don't care where you go. And she shut the door in my face. Walked down the hill, and the only thing I knew to do, and I knew it was God telling me to do, was call my Sunday school teacher. And we all were put in homes. But you know what? I didn't lose anything in the process. I still went, when I was one of, still went to see my daddy every weekend. And I got him saved before he passed away. He called us every day just about, telling us how much he loved us. I had a sister who went the opposite way. She couldn't forgive. And she got married and her husband shot her in the head. But she lived all of her life bitter. She told me I was too dumb to be unhappy. You know, a lot of people will tell you that. You know that? They'll tell you you're too dumb to be happy. To be unhappy. No, you're not. But I didn't know what I know today, guys. So don't use that excuse either. I just learned everything I know in 1977. God was with me. He was always in control. And I just always wanted to do what was right. You know, I didn't want to do what was wrong. And you kids in here, you don't have to do what's wrong. You just have to make up your mind. I don't want to do what's wrong. And do what's right. That's all you have to do. It's just that simple. You know, when I was in high school, the boys used to call me bad names because I wouldn't date. And my girlfriend said, why don't you date? I said, I don't want to. Because all you guys are doing, you're going out there and having sex in cars. And you're getting drunk. That's what they drank then. I said, I don't want that in my life. You make either good choices or bad choices, and you blame it on everybody else when it turns out wrong, and you're the one that made the choice. Nobody held a gun to your head. You just simply wanted to do what the crowd was doing, and so you did, and now look where it took, got you. So God wants to know tonight, will you please forgive each other? We just forgive each other and just walk in the love of Christ, because He can't use you otherwise. If your foundation is not love, He can't use you. Now, have you thought that over? Have you made your decision, I'm just going to flat forgive? And I'm just going to love no matter what it costs. I'm just going to love. Amen. If you've made that commitment to in your mind to God, I want you to come up to the altar. And I want God just to touch you in a special way. Where when you leave here tonight, you're not going to go back to your old way of thinking, your old way of doing, but you're going to be totally and completely committed to God.